Hey everybody, welcome to the Comedy Carlson Cast. A special thanks to our good friends at Sapori Cafe and Catering, located inside the Powers Building atrium, or you could have them cater your very own special event at Sapori Rochester. Good friends at Three Heads Brewing, finest beers, finest ingredients, delicious stuff. Check out threeheadsbrewing.com and Iron Smoke Whiskey, available in two different varieties, Applewood Smoke Whiskey and Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. Drink responsibly, ironsmokewhiskey.com.
Everybody, welcome back to an all-new Comedy at the Carlson Cast. You can visit us at carlsoncast.com or right here where you're listening. It's fine. Look, everybody, Vinny Paulino's back. Look at that guy. There he is, sexy guy. He's back. He's finally here. We love him. Oh, and also Brian's back as well. Yeah. That's very nice. Also, never left. It's me, Ross Johnson. There we go. Throwing the papers around. How are you doing? Just live here all the time behind the couch. And, of course, Cam Taylor, who's actually not here today, but that's all right. We still love him. We got the Dry Bar Comedy Crew tonight, episode 70. Coming at the Carlson Cast, the show you listen to
or watch. You could do lots of things.
Whatever.
You could do lots of things with this show.
You could imagine it. We prefer you don't, but we prefer you actually consume it.
I prefer that you consume it, enjoy it, and not only consume it and enjoy it, maybe leave us a review. Be cool.
I'm not here to tell people what to do.
And then dream about it at night.
And dream a little dream of all of us. Big show today. I'm excited. We have four comedians coming in. This is the first time we've had this many interviews in one episode.
Not one, not two, not three, but four.
Four time. I think that's the way you're supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Shane Smith's going to be here. Jay Whitaker's going to be here. Steve Solberg's going to be here. And Alex Velluto is going to be here. All touring across the country right now as part of the Dry Bar Comedy Tour. Now, it's interesting. A lot of people have been very confused by this.
Yeah.
I've seen the messages to the club. They're going to serve alcohol, right? Yes. Dry Bar is referring to the fact that most of these folks are from Utah. And in Utah, they have lots of weird rules, mostly in Salt Lake City, where, you know, you would have to go do comedy in places where you couldn't get booze.
Yeah.
So, long story short, they're touring around the country. They are very successful. Dry Bar Comedy in itself has about 400,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah, at least. It's huge.
It's huge.
And it only started like a little more than a year ago.
Yeah. I mean, they're really killing it. I believe they have like maybe like 15 comics or so under their label.
Yeah.
So we have four of them with us today. Mm-hmm. And we're going to learn a little bit about their lives and what it's like doing comedy in Utah, which I am fascinated by, actually. Yeah. I mean, I've had to do comedy in the Southern Tier, and I thought that was terrible.
It is terrible.
Very much is.
In a different way, though.
In a very, very...
Southern Tier is might get stabbed.
Different way. You know, I got to tell you, man, I'm feeling cold today, and I feel bad.
Because you have 90% less face?
I have 90% less face, and it's freezing freaking cold in here. I don't know what is going on. I'm a little...
I'm fine. Are you fine,
Ross? I don't know why you shaved in time for the coldest day of the year again.
Well, the reason I shaved was because of the fact that I was very sick. And you know when you get sick and like you just can't scrub enough to get clean?
Did you just do a Pedro and said, I was hot, and you just cut it all off?
Yeah.
It's a Napoleon Dynamite reference. I think a lot of our viewers will get it.
How 2002 are you?
Yeah.
Thank you for giving me so much to work with this morning.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
That.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, that's why we were off last week. And I was actually really upset we were off because I'm a big Mateo Lane fan. And we did not get to interview him.
No.
I'm kind of bummed. But next time he's here, we'll have Mateo Lane.
Because you had anthrax.
I had anthrax. So that, what is that, super chlamydia?
Super gonorrhea.
Super gonorrhea. Yeah.
It's a real
going
thing.
Around.
Yep.
Hey, you know, why get the regular kind if you can?
No, you supersize everything, including your gonorrhea.
It was only 59 cents more.
I think you need to go back to your mom and tell her you're getting that measles vaccine. You don't care anymore.
That's it. That's it. That's what I'm going to do. So, like I said, folks, interesting show today. The text line is open. You can text your questions for any of our comics to 585-484-0265. Stick around. We're going to be right back. Heading into summer right here at Comedy at the Carlson, you should check out our schedule. You know, this week we have the folks from Dry Bar Comedy here on March 7th through the 9th. We also have my pal Rob Campbell in the Rickles Room March 8th. Next weekend, Earl David Reed returns March 14th through the 16th. And Sky Sands will be in the Rickles Room March 16th. Jay Moore, the Slam Man, March 21st to the 23rd. Dusty Slay will be here March 28th through the 30th. Preacher Lawson will be here April 4th through the 6th. Tammy Pescatelli, April 11th through 13th. Samuel Comro from America's Got Talent, April 18th through the 20th. Steven Rogers and Caitlin Palufo will be here April 26th. Fred Rubino, he'll be here May 2nd and 3rd. And Robert Kelly returns May 10th and 11th. Lil Jimmy Norton will be here May 17th through the 18th. And Mark Skippy Price will be here May 23rd through the 25th. Mark Norman will be here May 30th through June 1st. Dan Soder will be here June 6th through the 8th. Jim Florentine returns June 13th through the 15th. And Nicole Bayer will be here July 11th through July 13th. Like I said, big schedule coming. CarlsonComedy.com for tickets or call 585-4COMEDY for more information. All I know is that you better get your tickets now, and we'll see you at a show. All right, we are back. Joining us in the studio is our first guest of our run of four this morning. Can you do me a favor and welcome into the studio our good friend, Mr. Steve Solberg. Give it up for him.
Hey.
It's going to be a lot of clapping you. Today.
We're going to clap a lot today.
Yep.
I feel like it's the best way to invite people into a small room. A and make it feel a little weirder.
Weird golf yeah. clap.
It's to yeah, make, to make direct eye contact and clap.
Exactly right. So, Steve, you are in Rochester, New York today. You're living in Salt Lake City now, product mm-hmm. of Seattle. But you are getting all over the country as part of this Dry Bar comedy tour. And I am very interested to find out how you got hooked up with them, how long you've been doing comedy. So let's start at the beginning. How
at
long
the beginning?
Have you been telling jokes for?
About 10 years.
Okay.
And got hooked up with the Dry Bar guys because they film these specials out in Utah that have become this viral sensation that's worldwide, and it was kind of like happenstance a little bit that this was happening in my backyard, and they're like, "You're a comedian?" And I was like, "I am." And
yes,
like,
yes.
"Want to do this?" Yes, and I was like, "I do."
Very yeah. much yeah. so.
And so it worked out really well because you don't launch a lot of comedy careers from Utah.
Apparently, you guys are about to become a hub. It feels like
it's been growing like crazy, and the Dry Bar whole sensation thing has been fantastic. So we'll see. I mean, hopefully,
All right.
It's been good for my career. So
10 years in, did you start doing comedy in Utah or did you start doing it in Seattle?
I started in Utah actually.
Really?
There's a great club out there, Wise Guys Comedy Club, and the owner is a comedian as well, who is just fantastically good to comics. And I mean, comedy is such a funny upbringing because
right.
there's really no like, this is how it's done, you know? And so to have somebody who can kind of help you along the path and be like, I've been there and
yeah,
I know exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like super helpful.
Yeah. Well, at some point, Steve, something had to be going on in your life where you were like, all right, I'm going to go try that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, stand-up. So I started doing stand-up because I was working at a lab. So I studied biology, and I got my degree in molecular biology.
You know, I find most molecular biologists to be hysterical.
Yeah.
Well, you have a reputation.
You were bitten by a very funny radioactive spider.
People love molecular biologists. They're like, get on about the proteins, because is funny stuff.
Yeah, if you don't have a molecular biologist at your party...
hello! Kind of passe to not have one. He's like the token molecular biologist.
Party foul.
But oddly enough, the pay isn't great. My theory on this is any job you can have where they see your face, they're going to pay you well. But if you're in the lab, it's like, why pay that guy? He doesn't even have a face.
Right.
And so we didn't get paid well. And I was like, I need something to supplement my income. And
that, that amazes me that molecular biologist needs a side hustle.
I feel like I need a degree to say it properly. I keep screwing it up every time I try to say it.
I mean, I feel like any... right out of college. I mean, unless, honestly, if you're a molecular biologist, but you got to get like a PhD.
Yeah.
And then, because I did not get a PhD. So, so I technically, I am probably not even allowed to say that. I can say I have a degree in molecular biology, but I couldn't say I'm a IST, right?
We won't turn you in.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because you need that PhD. But, without that, you're not going to get paid good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the comedy became the side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know it would be, but it became like something I got addicted to, actually, because it doesn't pay a ton at first because you suck. But until then, eventually it took over.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, though. Like, if molecular biology isn't paying the bills, what possessed you to think that stand-up was gonna?
As you noticed.
Like, you know what I mean, dude? Come on.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say I was a smart molecular biologist.
Screw this degree.
This is dumb.
Right.
Genetics will never pay for anything. I don't know. I wrote down a list of things that I thought I was good at. And I was like, I think I'm funny. And I think I'm a good artist. So I started drawing a bunch because I loved the Far Side, Gary Larson, growing up.
The best.
Yeah. And so I thought that I would be a cartoonist. And so that was because I'm from Seattle and Gary Larson is from Seattle. And for some reason, I felt that kinship to him. I was like, I could do what he did. And then I was like,
Bill Gates.
And nothing for Bill Gates. I don't even know who that is.
Okay.
Microsoft. Yeah, Bill Gates. I know who he is, but I'm not as, you know, I don't got his skill level or whatever, but.
Sure. So Gary Larson.
Gary.
However.
I could do. I'm like, I love cows and chickens who are personified. And so I thought I needed to know how to tell a joke. So that's when I drew a bunch and then I started going to comedy clubs. The comedy club thing stuck, but drawing did not.
Interesting. So first time you get on stage and open mic?
Yeah. I invited everybody that I knew. Like I went door to door to my friends' houses. I wanted to send them a personal invite. And I ran into a friend of mine who is a stand-up comedian who just got a Netflix special. About a year ago, Ryan Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
And we know Ryan.
Yeah.
You guys have had him on.
Yeah.
Oh, he's one of my favorite comedians, and he and I became fast friends, and he sort of helped me also along the journey.
He is a hysterical person.
He's very so
kind,
funny.
Very funny. Nice, and just like, he's got, I don't know, man. I feel like when I talk to him sometimes, he's like channeling Seinfeld, because he's got a very dry sarcasm.
Right, and honestly, his voice somehow is Seinfeldian
a bit,
which is interesting because he opens for him now,
yeah,
all the time.
Jerry has a type.
It's funny.
So you get into this, you start doing this. How long did it take you before you started
actually
really
being
deciding
funny?
To say, well, not just being funny, but saying, all right, molecular biology, I can't even say it.
It took a long time. I mean, I didn't drop that job until I could say I've been doing stand-up full-time for about 3 years.
Okay.
And so most of those 10 years were kind of in and out of the comedy club and stuff like that. I mean, comedy takes a long time develop.
It's not something that anybody's really great at overnight. There's people who have something out of the gate, but I don't think anybody's ever a finished product.
No. Yeah, like you see the kids on the talent shows who are like singing when they're 4.
Yeah.
And they're amazing, and it's like stand-ups could never do that.
Yeah, because they have to write their jokes.
Yeah.
They can't just sing other people's songs. Bunch of little hacks.
Total hacks. Those hack 4-year-olds. Rotten. Can we stop giving them so much attention?
Yeah. Prodigies, huh? Write a song. Write a song, kid!
Jeez.
That's the problem with this country today.
No Mozarts.
No Mozarts. Yeah. Lots of moats ain'ts.
Yeah, exactly. Moats, not arts. Oh, boy.
This is, I'm dying today slowly. Yeah. But
not that slowly.
Faster than most people would have assumed.
It's pretty quick.
So I got to ask you this, because I was watching a little bit of your media going through Rochester today, and everyone wouldn't leave you alone about how you look like a Wahlberg.
Oh,
how
yeah.
How often do you get that nonsense?
It's weird because it's changed. Like, when I was a kid. a couple years ago, it was always Kevin Bacon.
Right.
And now it's Wahlberg. It's just whoever's popular right now.
Sure. I think we want to
identify, you know? Like, oh, you fit here. And then
I don't ever get that. I get Ryan Reynolds in the fat suit from that one movie. Nobody ever goes Wahlberg.
Which is when he's adorable.
Sure. Oh, thank
well,
you.
Well,
Steve, you're my favorite.
That's one of my favorite movies, by the way. But the Ryan Reynolds with Anna Faris, right?
I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People say it to me, though. They go, you look like Ryan Reynolds in the fat suit.
I can't remember the name of the movie, but I can never remember the name of movies.
Well, yeah, I don't remember either.
It ain't important.
Yeah. Yeah.
It ain't important. You look like a Wahlberg. You get to go through life looking like a Wahlberg and being funny.
Hopefully. I just need to work out more is the thing. That's what I had somebody tell me. They were like, you look like a Wahlberg who doesn't work out. I was like, oh, thanks. I guess that's a compliment.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, sure. I'm Wahlberg.
Wahlberg-y and yeah. Steve Solberg-y.
There
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Sure.
There it is. All right, Steve. Well, thank you for coming in, man. And we'll be able to see you this weekend. Tickets are on sale now, folks. Get your tickets now, 5854-COMEDY, or visit carlsoncomedy.com. I'm going to welcome into the studio, as I throw you out, Alex Velluto. Come
look
on in, Alex.
Hey.
Tag team.
Tag
boom,
team.
Boom.
Switch him out.
Hey.
Hey, man.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm great.
Get comfy.
All right.
This is the first time we've ever done a show where we've had like revolving guests on.
Yeah.
So it's a little
weird
for us.
Everyone's been a little thrown off. Like, why are there so many people?
Well, a little bit. And yeah. I mean, when you have four comedians that show up, it's never like quiet and never like orderly.
Yeah.
It's never just.
We try and be cool. I hope we're not a bother.
No, you're fine, okay. Man. I'm just.
Well, we have some notes, but yeah.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Fine.
Yeah, please give me the notes.
So you are famously known as the Diet Coke guy, man.
Yeah, self-appointed.
Self-appointed.
Shane is trying to come for my title, though.
Why is that?
So last night, we each got like 3 12 packs of Diet Coke at the CVS, and we both put it in our respective mini fridges at the hotel.
Uh-huh.
And we're trying to see who can finish them first.
That's an actual thing that's happening?
Yeah, currently happening right now.
All right. Do you have totals on this? Do you have counts?
I'm embarrassingly low right now. I'm only 2 cans deep, but we got them last night.
Okay.
I had one last night before bed.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Probably
and
perfect.
One this morning, yeah.
Right.
So, and I just actually had one from the bar here.
See, but that
doesn't
was stupid because it doesn't count.
Know,
it's not
it doesn't
from the
count.
Kitty.
I know, but it's okay. I've got an unlimited amount I can drink.
I love it.
Yeah. Actually, I think health-wise, there is a limited amount you can drink.
Yeah, but I'm going to find that edge, you know?
I'm pretty sure if you call Coke, you can just ask them. They'll tell you, like, don't have more than 800 of these.
They're going to say, you did what?
I've never called Coke. Wouldn't they be like the cigarette companies, like, no, it's great. Just go for it all the time.
I don't know. I hope Coke is more socially responsible than cigarette companies.
We are legally obligated to tell you to slow down a bit.
Oh, man. That would be the worst day of my life if Coke itself told me, hey, you're done.
Yeah.
They just start calling the bodegas around you, letting them all know.
You
see
need
this
to
guy,
cut this guy off.
There's going
to
be a problem.
Your picture's there like you wrote a bad check.
Yeah.
If he has one more Diet Coke, we're all at risk.
Don't let him drink anymore.
This board meeting's happening.
He's gone too far.
I told you it would happen someday, Jim.
So, Alex, you're a Utah guy. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Born and bred?
Yes.
All right.
Still there.
From Salt Lake City?
Uh-huh.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Right on. So I have to ask, what is the comedy scene like in Salt Lake City? Because Steve says it's pretty good, but traditionally speaking...
Yeah,
you know,
why
people don't think of it as a hub.
Yeah, why don't people think of it as a good place?
Nobody said not a good place.
I mean, not a good comedy scene.
Well,
I mean, it's probably not a hub, but it's great. Like, there's.
I feel like
what's
maybe
the perception out here?
Very serious folks. That still Midwestern kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Not big laughers.
Huh.
Lot of Mormon folks who really aren't so much into the comedy, keeping it.
Yeah, the club brings out like really good comedy fans. Like, there's A-list acts that come through all the time, and just I don't know, from based on the other places I've been, it feels like a normal and comedy scene.
Sure. Well, please don't think that I'm like defend your city's honor.
Yeah.
I think also it's just that
but
it's,
no
it's
we
a,
do
it's,
get that a lot, like
it's a very pretty city.
Uh-huh.
So I think you don't think of beautiful places
uh-huh.
as being funny places.
Oh yeah, I guess
it's more more the dreary falling down city.
Okay. Yeah, like
yeah.
places where you
Detroit's
know the world's
comedy
picks
scene has really taken off ever since the downturn.
Yeah, you should go to Flint. It's hysterical.
I know. They're so funny in Flint.
Oh. It's on t-shirts though.
But they're very thirsty, but they're very funny
oh
people.
Gosh.
Come for the comedy, leave because of the water. Flint, Michigan. Start new. So like how long have you been doing comedy, Alex?
Almost 6 years now.
6 years, man.
Yeah.
So relatively new to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, relatively new.
So Dry Bar comes along. They start doing shows in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. Do you have to audition for that? Do they tap you? Do they say, hey, man, you're funny. Come and be a part of this?
The owner of the club that we all work at is the booker for Dry Bar.
Right on.
And so he got us all on there.
So he's just looking for the best he could find.
Yeah.
Putting them out there.
Uh-huh.
It's a very unique thing, the way he's done Dry Bar comedy. There's not a lot of clubs that have done that type of thing, where it's featuring their acts online the way that they're doing it.
Yeah.
A lot of clubs focus
more
on...
Well, he gets everyone from all over the place, and then us, too. And
sure.
Yeah. The tour's just starting out, and we're happy to be on it, and it's going really well.
Right on.
Yeah.
Now, you've been all over the country so far.
Uh-huh.
Right on.
Florida twice now.
Ooh. Mm. Ooh la la.
Yeah, we were there last week.
Ah, quite a difference.
Yeah, it's a pretty place, a really bad comedy scene.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that actually. I happen to know that for a
fact. Oh, we know that, yeah, yeah.
Miami kind of sucks comedy-wise.
I did.
I'm just kidding.
I played a club where they sent my opening act. Who's the MC? It was a 90-year-old guy who was wearing a T-shirt that said, I pooped today.
Yeah,
oh,
fun.
That was our MC.
Did he sell merch at the show?
No, I think he bought that shirt.
No,
he was telling people where he bought it.
Oh, so, that's not smart. Selling merch the outside. Go to that store.
The dude was literally 75.
Yeah.
And he'd started doing stand-up like a month before.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And they were just like, here you go.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, guys.
Oh,
he did
man.
A costume change. I think he actually had two funny shirts.
He had the boobs. He had the plastic boobs.
Oh, that's cool.
Plastic boobs. Don't remember that.
Yeah.
Either way. So tell me about your comedy journey. How did you get started into it? What made you decide to
start telling jokes? A little bit in high school, actually, like when I was 16, 17 years old. And then I went to college and kind of stopped. And then I started back up again near the end of college.
Right
so
on.
That was like almost 5.5-ish years ago.
So when you were in high school, something made you, you just liked stand-up that much?
Yeah,
that
I've
you
liked
just wanted
stand-up
to
ever since I was a kid. I remember writing joke premises down since I was like 12 or something. They were bad, but I don't use those anymore. If anyone's listening, don't
you know
worry.
What?
Did any of them make it from your 12-year-old jokes to your actual first time performing? Did a couple still make it through?
There was one that was not bad. Like I still do this one on occasion where I say that to help like childhood obesity, we should make the play place into a giant model of the human heart. And that way when the fat kid gets stuck in the aorta slide.
It's a learning experience.
It's a moment they'll never forget.
Uh-huh. That was like a 12-year-old joke I wrote. It's still pretty good, I think.
Yeah. All right. I could go with it.
Yeah.
I personally don't find fat jokes funny.
I know. Well, I'm
very upset. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're a slender gentleman.
Oh, thank you, Alex.
Yeah.
You know what? You're my favorite now.
I know, right?
I used to like that Steve guy.
You tell that to all the girls.
I do.
He does. Oh. He's a whore.
If you have any of those premises left that you want to get rid of, Brian could probably use them.
Oh, my God. This is a terrible sales pitch for the show. Here's a joke I wrote when I was 12.
All right. I'll tell you what. I mean, why don't you do me a favor? I'm gonna let you sell the show. Sell it like it's a Diet Coke, like people really want it. Sell the show for me. Go ahead.
Sweet, but with no calories, fizzy. It stings your throat and gives you a little pep for your day. Just like a Diet Coke.
Nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious how the fizz is going to get in my throat. But other than that, yeah, I really want to come
yes,
see
fizz.
This show.
The word I said was fizz.
Yeah, is fizz. It fizz.
Is it soda or pop in Utah?
We say soda, I think, more.
Interesting.
Is it pop out here?
It's like 50-50 here.
Yeah. Some people say pop in Utah.
Okay.
There's some places that they just say pop. I say soda.
So you're telling me that the comedy scene in Salt Lake you get a lot of people that are really big comedy fans and not a lot of people who are just, oh, we're going to go out and try this and are very nervous about it.
I think that's what the Dry Bar thing started as. That's why it has that weird name, is they called it Dry Bar because people are scared to go to a nightclub. And so that particular location doesn't have booze, and so people felt like it was safe.
Interesting.
But the other places that are in Utah, the Wise Guys clubs are awesome. And they have booze, their normal comedy clubs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So when you are asked to be on a thing called the Dry Bar Tour, like, did that give you any pause? Do you prefer performing clean? Do you like to be edgy?
I normally perform clean. I think I'd like to think there's some edge to it, but I guess that's who you ask. But
right.
Yeah, no, it was fine. Like, I like Dry Bar. That was, and they gave me a great opportunity to tape the taping and
the special. Yeah.
Some of the stuff went pretty well on the internet. And
absolutely.
Stuff. Yeah.
And if you watch I obviously watched a lot of the clips over the last week. It's clean, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not like
boring.
Ball, right?
Yeah. It's not like.
I hope so. Okay.
Yeah,
good.
It's not like children's television clean. It's,
right.
It's, there's still a lot of edgy jokes, especially you get in some edgy jokes here and there.
Yeah,
it's just not any swearing. Really, yeah. Other than that, it's just like any other stand-up.
Yeah, that's what because I just want to be a normal stand-up.
Like, yeah.
And there's stand-ups that are cleaner, but you don't really think of them as Jerry Seinfeld's a clean comic or Brian Regan's
and
a clean
comic. And you'll have that no matter what
not
happens.
Not that I'm good at, like, on the spectrum of those guys. I don't know. It's right. Me, Seinfeld, and Regan.
But you're going to have that skill for the rest of your career that you know you can do it.
That's what he calls it, the fizz.
That's the fizz. He told me to sell it like a Diet Coke, and I just got all swept up in the Diet Coke metaphor.
Awesome.
And it's open to interpretation.
I wish you much luck.
Thank you, sir.
In your Diet Coke contest this weekend.
Yes, I'll let you know when the kidney stones appear.
All right. All right. Definitely
We can live stream
that. I know a guy. Give me a call.
Oh, okay.
That'll come take care of it.
You have a kidney stone guy?
Yeah.
I have a guy.
Yeah, he's got a lot of doctors in his cell phone. He's an old man.
Oh, nice.
Alex Velluto, thank you for coming
in,
man.
Thank you so
much.
Nice
meeting you. And we are going to welcome in our next guest, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It's Jay Whitaker. Give it up for him.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Jay. How you doing, man?
What's up?
Come on in. Slide in.
Yeah, there we go. How I feel. There. Is this right?
You look good.
Yep.
This is my fit.
You're comfortable, man.
Yeah. What's up?
You're a Utah guy, huh?
Yeah. I'm originally from LA.
You're an LA guy.
Yeah. I'm from LA, and then I moved out to Utah because I want to do this comedy thing in reverse. I want to reverse engineer the comedy career. Most people go to LA to make it. I go to Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Leave LA. Go to Salt Lake.
Yeah.
I think that when you make it to the top,
moving to Louisville next week.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
When Jay makes it to the top, he will have really earned it.
Yeah, no, I got stationed out there. That's the real reason.
You're an Air Force guy,
yeah, I'm
right?
An Air Force guy. So,
no, I was too.
Yeah, right on. What was
I was command and control.
Right on. No, yeah. I did SATCOM and cybersecurity. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
So question.
Answer.
What he did, like janitorial work mostly?
No, he's a good guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, we saw each other. We would see each other in the hallway and be like, yeah.
Because I'd break shit and have to call one of you guys to come fix it.
Yeah, that is exactly.
Okay.
He gave me a job.
Yeah,
so your screw ups gave me a job. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Yeah.
thank you for fixing my stuff so I could go back to watching porn.
Well, I mean, it's got to get watched.
Yep.
I think to me, when they make it, they're like, it's got to get watched.
Yep.
They're making it for somebody.
And you know, we had a lot of locks in the doors. Might as well not waste them.
Yeah. I had to fix those locks.
Just keep doing what you're doing. I'm just going to be a minute. Yeah. No, thanks. I'm out on that. So you went from LA to Utah because of the military.
Yeah.
I understand that. And when you were there, how did you decide? I mean, you're in a military career. How did you decide that stand up was something you were interested in?
Well, actually, I talked about this earlier this morning. I lost my best friend, but long story short, a guy that I grew up with in LA in Orange County, the short version of the story is he got murdered.
Oh,
and,
my God.
In a bar fight back home, and I wasn't there, but he always told me I should be a comedian. So in a way of like honoring him, and kind of coping with the loss of him. I saw Kevin Hart like probably a couple weeks after the funeral. Actually, a week after the funeral, and I was like, this is how I'm going to deal with it. And then But not to depress everybody. I also grew up around it. Like some of my family is still touring to this day, and so it's just like, you know, I was always the kid kind of growing up in the back of the Brea Improv and Irvine Improv back in California. Yeah. So I was always just around it.
So like, how young were you when you were watching stand up?
The first special I remember watching over and over was Martin Lawrence's "You So Crazy," and then Eddie Murphy. Like when I had a job at Blockbuster Video, which is an old sentence to say, and then I would rent Eddie Murphy's Raw. I watched that thousands of times. But then what did it for me was Dave Chappelle's "Killing Me Softly."
Right on.
Because that was like, okay, that's the guy that I like feel like I resonate with because. Yeah. Yeah. Black guy who grew up, then moved out to a white neighborhood because I was living in Orange County too. Sure. So I was like that I know that story. So
kind of in a way helped you find your own voice by realizing, wow, this is something. There's an experience here that I need to explore and get out.
Well, because I think when people see black comedians, they assume a certain type, a certain style. Uh-huh. And I love that Chappelle, when he came into the game, it was like, yeah, there's a different style. There's different stories for all of us. We're not just pigeonholed into these, you know, very animated. And that's, you know, I love that, you know.
Yeah, my favorite thing about Chappelle is the man, no matter what he does, even when he was doing like Chappelle's Show, there was always a point to everything he did.
Oh, yeah.
He always has a point, and he always is coming with, with something that he's trying to get across.
Very deliberate.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that should be more inspirational to comics.
And that's what's been fun on this tour is like the fact that I get up there. Yeah, I'm doing some fun stuff. I mean, for the most part, clean comedy, it's very lighthearted. So, but yeah, there's definitely some apparent points in my comedy where I'm like, yeah, this happens. Let's be better about it. What's the deal with airplane food? Let's get back to it. Like, it's just...
Right.
And, yeah. But because it's, you know, we have different types of audiences, and the Dry Bar Tour brings out a different audience, and so sometimes they may not understand some of those issues. But we're comics,
right?
Mm-hmm. You figure it out how to get your point across.
So if this is the first Dry Bar Tour and you're a part of it, that's got to be pretty exciting.
Yeah. It was great. You feel lucky to be handpicked. I've seen a lot of the beautiful country that we live in.
How many cities are you guys doing?
It's been about 30-40, so wow. I mean, like, and it's we started around October. It looks like it's going till June, and maybe more. Like, we keep adding dates. It's been fun. I mean, as a comedian, you know, this is my primary job, so it's just like, okay, yeah, let's roll with it, you know. Like,
so how long have you been out of the Air Force?
I'm still in, actually.
Oh, really?
I'm a reservist, yeah.
Okay.
I'm a reservist. I'm actually supposed to be in uniform this weekend, but like they work with my schedule, and I have a great commander. And shout out to my unit there. They're cool with me. So
right on, letting you come.
But yeah, I went from active duty to the reserve side to Air National Guard unit out in Utah, and it's been great. You know,
how old were you the first time you stepped on stage?
I'm 35. I was what? I was 27.
Wow.
27, and I went through a divorce, you know, so like my comedy back then was dark. It was one of my best friends was murdered, going through a divorce, going through custody. Like I was just honest. That's what makes real comedians. Brutally honest. And so, you know, like, we're all comics. It's like we're sitting there. I would go to therapy, and then like I'm sitting there. My therapist got their notepad. I got my notepad. I'm like, this is funny. This is great. I'm gonna use this. And then they were like, yeah, you should stop coming. And then I started going up on stage more, talking about everything.
Did your therapist really tell you to stop
coming? Yeah, he's like, yeah, this is not helping because you're just laughing. You're deflecting a lot. And I was like, yeah, but it's good stuff. I'm gonna get, you know, I got a tight five. You know, I go in for 45 and I come in out with a tight five. Easy.
It's better than paying somebody for a comedy class.
Yeah, exactly. It was great. So, no, it's cathartic, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
interesting.
Definitely.
So, how long after your friend passed away did you actually decide to get on stage? Was it like immediate? Did it take a while?
It was pretty immediate. Like, it was like we lost him on January 1st of 2011. And then, I saw Kevin Hart probably like January 15th and then February 2nd.
Okay.
Like, I remember the timeline.
Happy anniversary, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. So it's just like, I remember the timeline. So it was February 2nd and it was like, boom. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. Now, like, you've been in service, so it's hard to tell your parents, like, yo, remember that thing that gives me, like, job security and, like, insurance?
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I don't really, like, want to do that on a full-time level. I want to yell jokes for a living. Are you cool with this? Great. I love you, Mom and Dad. Please love me forever.
And how'd that go?
My dad was, like, all for it, and he's from Rochester, actually.
Oh, no, for
real? Yeah, and so, like, he's like, do it. And then my mom's like, I don't know about that, you know. But then checks started coming in. She's like, "I'm all right with this." So,
<Yeah. laughs> wow, that's a hell of a story. That's really interesting. Like, that type of grief could blossom into something that's so positive for you.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is all right. And like, on some real stuff, like I work at a bar as well. Like, when I'm in town, I work as a bouncer. And so,
sure.
But the way I see it is like that night I wasn't there to like. Growing up, I was always the de-escalator. I literally talked my way. I've been in fights. I've been in my fair share of bar fights. Yeah, but like if you can de-escalate, you can't do it.
Right.
You know. And then so I like working at the comedy clubs because if they're laughing, they ain't fighting. And
right.
You know, I like to think if I was there that night, I probably could have de-escalated that fight because I've literally broken up so many bar fights.
Right.
Like, I had two guys, they were ready to, it was after a UFC fight, they're ready to throw blows, they're all amped up, wearing their stupid affliction shirts.
They want to learn the skills, or use the skills they just learned by watching.
And so we're at like a little, just little neighborhood pub. And
Joe Rogan said, I gotta grab him by the arm.
Yeah. They're at a neighborhood pub and they're trying to start a fight, and then I'm like, you guys really want to fight to Katy Perry playing in the background? Is this the story you guys want to tell? Because this is the story I'm going to tell. And that
you're gonna hear me roar.
It was California Girls. That was the best part. But I mean, like, and so they were like, I kind of like Katy Perry. And then they just didn't fight. And so, like, to me, that's the whole thing. Is like, if they're in the audience and they're laughing, they ain't fighting, and that's good with me.
Well, I think that's one positive way to look at it.
Yeah.
I think. So you got to tell me a good bouncer story. I really love bouncer stories.
Oh yeah, bouncer story.
You got to give me a good one.
This is a very true one. This guy was in a fight with his girlfriend. They got into an argument.
Okay.
And so next thing you know, he's an abusive person, and so like he decides to take a swing on his girlfriend, punches her in the face, then slaps her best friend. I immediately step in to do my job. And like I didn't know what to do in this situation, like, but he got offended at me because I was, you know, trying to keep people safe. So then he took a swing at me, called me the N-word. I dodged it because I'm in great shape.
Sure.
Then he threw a second punch. I caught it and I was like, yo, that's pretty crazy. Like, and so then I didn't know what to do with the situation because
you caught it by the hand.
Like I caught it.
Tried to punch you and you caught
it. Yeah, and I just caught it. He's slow, drunk, whatever. So then I catch it, and then next thing you know, like, I didn't know what to do in this situation. He looked like one of those, like, those white guys that go boating named Connor, Colton, or Kobe or something.
Sure, yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, you know, boat shoes and everything. So
a white C word.
Thurston. Yeah, like very, very, very waspy, you know?
Sure,
and so, like, I didn't know, like, this guy looked like he would sue me. And so I was like, I didn't know what to do in this situation, so I just tickled him. So, like, and then... And like I just was like, blah, 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 blah. And
come
was,
on, Blair.
Yeah, no. And he was like, stop. And like I was like, all right. Well, and I was like, get out of here. Don't do that anymore. But it was like it was very fun because like his girlfriend was laughing at him because like she was obviously she's embarrassed. But he's super embarrassed now because like
I can say for sure that if a large man tickles me unexpectedly, I'm going to stop whatever I was doing.
Yeah, or take off your clothes. Like, if you're ever going to fight, take off your clothes and start tickling the dude. Guarantee you won't want to fight.
I fake a heart attack.
Fake a heart attack? But don't smile as you do it. You can't,
imagine that's what I would do.
Yeah, this is the big one. I'm dying.
Yeah, I'll do one of those. It'll be good.
I used to straight up faint when I would get into arguments with my ex-wife.
No,
straight up, like, body, I would commit to the, like, just go limp Straight up, you stand up.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do when you see a bear too?
She's a nice person. I'll just say that.
All right, I'm just saying. Fair enough. A hell of a defense mechanism.
It has worked.
You just.
I'm gonna try that.
I got
tonight.
What I'm.
You ever get into an argument with your spouse? Like straight up, just go limp. But you gotta commit. Like hit something on the way down, knock something over. Like so then they like, and then make sure your body's like askew. Like if you're right, like you gotta.
This is genius.
Just pretzel up, straight up. Just pretzel up, but you gotta knock something
down
on the way down. Like otherwise, no.
Preferably not something of hers, though.
Yeah, preferably not. But like water bottle, go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like make sure, like, but you got to know what's in the room. You got to know what's in the room. Like, if it's a mouse,
uh-huh.
You know, like a little laptop mouse, perfect.
Smash it across.
Perfect.
The
rock, it was $5.
Yeah.
You know, what's a mouse? I'm getting good mouse money. What's going on?
So, I have to ask.
What's
when
up?
This happens, does she go? Get up, or does she like call 911? Like, what does she do?
First time, 911. Second time, 411 for a divorce lawyer.
Okay. Okay.
No, that's
it went too deep.
Yeah. No.
So hold on. When she called 911 this first time,
no, like, I immediately popped up. And I was like, "Yo, let's not do this. Let's not do this. I am very much okay. I just do not want to talk to you." And yeah.
You broke the mouse.
An external hard drive. It was a nightmare. It's so much data. Anyways.
That's a bad decision. Like, I can't decide if it's brilliant or it's terribly stupid.
I'm going genius.
I think we should try it. You try it.
It's not as smart as the tickle thing, but it's pretty good.
I gotta be honest, Jay's my favorite now.
You gotta try it. I mean, let me know how it goes. I feel it's still bothering me that I can't remember where you're from.
The only problem is that you
probably throwing me out of a bar, tickling me.
Maybe I did
weird.
Tickle you. You
the only problem is you just told us both that, and we argue with each other more than any other two human beings, so it's not gonna work.
I feel
because
like
because if one of us faints, we'll go. That's just that thing, Jay.
I leave you.
Get up.
That would be crazy if like you guys start fighting and then like, but someone else, you both just faint, and then someone else is in the room like tripping. They're like, "Yo, what happened?"
The rapture.
Yeah.
They finally killed each other.
It's like they Thanos snapped each other, and it's like done.
Oh, man. All right, folks. You can see Jay Whitaker this weekend here at Comedy the Carlson. There's four shows left. Get your tickets. CarlsonComedy.com or call 5854-COMEDY. Jay, it's been a pleasure having you here, man.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
That was really funny.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Vinny will be laying in the back somewhere.
What's that?
I said Vinny will be laying in the back somewhere.
Crumpled over.
Thanks, guys.
Nice meeting you, man. Nice meeting you, Jay.
Thanks,
we're going to welcome in our next guest and our final guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. It's Shane Smith. Come on in, Shane.
Oh, hello.
How are you, my friend?
Oh, yeah, I'm just right there.
Slide right in there. Hey, look at that Diet Coke you got.
That is me with a Diet Coke.
So you are in a Diet Coke contest with Alex at the moment.
I am.
Is that accurate?
And I'm winning
by
crushing it by a significant margin. I think he's done two, and I'm at six cans and two drinks now.
Yeah. All right, doctors are on standby. So, welcome to Rochester, man.
Yeah.
This is your first time through town?
Yeah, this is my first time in Rochester.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you've been all over the country on this tour.
You're part of
Dry Ball, Dry Bar. You have a very interesting backstory. Were you in a motorcycle gang?
I was a professional criminal for the first part of my life. Uh-huh. There's any questions, comments, concerns? You have
concerns
a lot of cool stuff
and questions.
In here.
Well, thank you. Feel free to play with whatever you would like to. If there's a toy you want to play with during your interview, be my guest. They're there for your enjoyment.
Nice.
I put them up there so people don't feel like pressure to look at my face.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Yeah, it just kind of gets people like,
Was the motorcycle gang Utah based or were
I mean, most motorcycle clubs are not just like one area.
They're franchises.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I was not just in Utah, Wyoming, Nevada, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Montana even.
This is a very interesting thing. How old were you when you joined a biker gang?
19.
Okay.
I mean, but earlier before that, I was, you know, you are affiliated with people in that lifestyle, in that stuff, like, early. You don't just, like, no one just joins a gang. They're not, like, going out for a college.
Is that what I've been doing wrong?
No one just,
like, said applications.
Yeah, no one's like, oh, I want to be a Blood, but the Latin Kings are my safety gang. You know, like, it's not, that's not how that works. You just kind of fall into it, you know? So, I mean, I knew... I'm a white trash person, so I grew up very sketchy, and so for the duration, I've kind of been in and around these things, and so eventually I just sort of fell into it, and that's, you know, it is what it is.
And now you're doing stand-up comedy all over the country.
I am. It's been many years since I was a horrible person. I'm a slightly better person now.
Sure.
And so,
you're making Alex feel bad about the Diet Coke thing. So.
Yeah, yeah, I'm crushing him. So I do stand up all over the country now, and it's great. I've been doing stand up for the last 5 years, and I think the last time I did a crime for money, I was 23 years old. So that's 9 years now.
Yeah.
Feeling pretty good about it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now you just do crime for pleasure?
Yeah, now I'm just in it for the love of the game, baby.
Ah!
Hey.
You ever just jaywalk some days just to go like, I still got it?
Leave the kitty litter in the bottom of the cart when you're checking out at the grocery store. I'm a rebel.
Yeah. There it is. There it is. I just picture you like that Danzig picture of him just carrying out the kitty litter in the bag of Fruit Loops out of a store.
Yeah, man.
With all the tattoos. So, like, how many tattoos do you have, dude?
All of them.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm mostly covered.
Right.
So I have, like, a little bit of room on my thighs and, like, my knee, one of my knees, and I'm just working on that, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm very fascinated by you, and I don't know where to start. So, like, you grew up around a bunch of bikers. You join a biker gang.
I grew up in like a small town in the middle of Utah, like tiny, 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 like cowboy town, like almost no internet. I didn't have a cell phone till I was like 20 years old. Mm-hmm.
Next highway exit's 20 miles down the road.
More than 20.
Yeah.
Like 200 miles away from a fully functioning hospital.
Wow.
Like, yeah, and that far from a stoplight, hardly any paved roads, no rules,
wow.
Graduating class of like less than 40 people type situation. So
you're going to be a hit at the reunion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's come and gone, and I didn't go, but
okay.
Not invited. I didn't graduate from high school, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So what can you do? But yeah, I grew up in a small place and then ended up in Salt Lake City and then ended up doing crime. So
you go to Salt Lake City, you end up doing crime, and how you stopped when you were 23, so you're like in this gang for like 4 years or so.
When you say in a gang, it's so interesting because when people hear like in a gang or joined a gang or they want to talk about being a criminal, it's not as what do I want to say? Official, as people think?
It's not as formal.
It's not as formal, yeah. And there are formalities. The formalities, when they do come, are very formal.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's like I said, you don't just join a gang. Just like you can't just join the mafia.
Right.
You've got to just be around those guys. You've got to be hustling. You've got to be doing work. Criminals, especially people who are in, like, the world of motorcycle clubs or the mafia or organized crime, they contract work out to people. Like, no one in the Hell's Angels just robs a bank. They plan it and hire people to rob the bank for them.
Right.
Yeah. So how you start doing crime is like someone in a motorcycle club is like, I'm paying the guy who has the gun at 7-Eleven to leave at 7:30. The other guy doesn't have one. You rob him. This is a sure thing. And then you keep half. And then, you know, you do work for people like that over time, and then they say, well, come hang out with us at the clubhouse, do this, do that, this is Shane, he's a good guy, blah blah blah, and the next thing you know, you're sort of becoming initiated and now you're farming work out to other. It's much more it's just less what people think it is, you
okay.
know
okay.
So
it sounds more like Amway.
Yeah, it's just business.
Right.
You know, it's when you hear about it, you're like, oh, so they're like a work service.
Yeah.
A little
like
bit.
A staffing service. And it really is like that. And, you know, you're interning. You know, it's more It's so much, it mirrors regular life so much more than people think. It's just you're doing things that are risky or violent or morally questionable.
So through all this, stand-up, where is stand-up on your radar through all this?
Stand-up doesn't come into the radar till after. Me and my brother stop doing bad stuff and stop doing crime and stealing and everything else. And we try to get our lives together. So we had this
Was that state mandated or did you guys just decide?
That was not state mandated. Yeah. We literally decided together, like at the same time, we probably shouldn't go to prison or die.
Yeah.
So both of us had been in minor trouble, but neither of us had ever been like really hit with anything serious. You know, so we were like, let's get out now. So we both decided to leave. We made a big move. You got to cut. You know, it's difficult. You can't just be like, peace out, guys. Thanks for everything. Like, so it was a whole thing. And that's a big story in and of itself. But we stopped and then moved on with our lives. I left the country for a while. He did other stuff. And then we came back to Salt Lake at the same time. And I basically, like, had nothing going on. And, you know, clearly for me, anywhere in the world, really, it's hard for me to get work. But in Utah especially, what am I doing?
Right.
And I looked like this, you know. So I was struggling. I was just working a regular 9-to-5, grinding it out, and feeling pretty unfulfilled and miserable. And I was just like, I got to do something. But I don't want to go to school. I hate school. I didn't graduate high school or college or anything. So I was like, what do I do? I could go to trade school, but I don't want to be one of those guys either. And then I saw Nick Swardson, actually. I saw his special at the time. And I was like, you know, I'm Jewish. I could do this. And I just decided to go for it. I had done an open mic earlier in my life, just like as a bucket list thing. Right. I bombed terribly. But I kind of forgot about it. And then I was like, you know what I'll do? So I went to an open mic. I watched one, which is what you should do if you're planning on doing comedy.
Agreed.
And then I spent a week writing what I thought was 2 minutes of joke. And then I showed back up at open mic, and I did bomb. You know, everyone bombs, even if they think they don't.
But at least you had a game plan.
I had a game plan, and I had a healthy amount of delusion. And then that, I was hooked. It carried me through the first year of comedy until I got self-aware enough to start feeling bad about how horrible comedy is. And then you guys know. And then, I love it, but also it's hard, especially when you start out. Like, it's so much just brutality and just getting your ego beaten. And so, and then I stuck with it. So I'm one of the few guys who, before I even put the mic in my hand and was like, hi, jokes, I was like, this is my career. I started my first open mic in my mind being like, this is the plan, and was all in. Like, so I kind of started comedy the way you might start your first day of college.
Right.
Working towards a career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First day at the big firm.
Exactly. I'm not a 9-to-5 guy, and I made myself into a 9-to-5 guy. So comedy was my only way out. Yeah, yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Thank you.
So when you start getting into it, it takes you like a year before you start realizing maybe what you're doing.
Yeah.
When did you start seeing things pick up? What kind of things were you figuring out about your act and yourself?
At first I was just doing jokes. For the first year, you know, I was just like figuring out like, do I do jokes? Do I do this? Do that? It took me a while to realize that I was a storyteller more than anything. And then it took me like, you know, 3 years to get any kind of comfort in the writing process and start getting like bits that I was like, oh, these are going to stay for the duration.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and then once I kind of figured out my style and I got comfortable on stage and I lost my job 2 years into comedy and I started doing the road. Like bad road gigs. I don't know if you guys know who Tribble is.
Oh, the Tribble Run.
Yeah, I started doing Tribble Runs, featuring on Tribble Runs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, you know what? I can survive off of $8,000 a year. So I lost a lot of weight because I wasn't eating. And I sold everything I owned and got divorced and like ruined my life so that I could just pursue comedy. And I was just on stage, on the road, all the time, and like gave up all my hobbies, all my friendships. Like I just like
disappeared,
gave it up for comedy.
Yeah.
And I was just doing comedy as hard as I could for like 2 years. And then I became a better comic from it. And then my act kind of formed. And once I figured out like what I was doing, I was like off to the races. I wrote like, you know, 2 hours worth of material.
Yeah.
And I sold one of those hours to Drybar. And then I kind of just assuming like, oh, I need this money to eat. I'll pay bills and do this special. No one will ever see it. I'm not good. Because like all comics, I just hate everything I do.
Oh, you're all over that YouTube channel, my friend.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah, I did it assuming I wouldn't be seen, and then I woke up one morning and someone was like, "Do you know that you have a video on Facebook with 32 million views or something?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "What?" And I checked my Instagram, and I went from like 1,000 followers who were everyone I know from comedy to like 20,000. And then the next thing I knew, I was getting calls from people who were like, come play in my club. And then I had an agent. And it's nice. Comedy's weird like that. You're always one day away from the next big thing. But up until that point, you are where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Because in other jobs, you're like, oh, I'm going up for the... You know, I feel myself getting better. I think my boss likes me, or I'm going out for this promotion or whatever. But in comedy, it's like just grind forever and hope it works out.
And hope someday somebody calls.
Yeah, and and the reality is someone might call.
Yeah.
That's real. But then there's also the reality someone might not call. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you would think the anxiety goes away after someone calls, but... You know, just like everything, as soon as someone calls, you got to wait for the next call. Yeah, yeah, you got it. You're always looking for the next thing, hoping it doesn't go away. So
what are you working on right now apart from this? I mean, you've got a few hours under your belt. You've been touring.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking to do? I mean, what are your grand aspirations?
I have a new hour, and I want to record it for someone somewhere. Mm-hmm. I know people online are always like, "Have you thought about being on Netflix?" It's like,
it's kind of like joining the gag. It's the same thing.
I didn't think to do that.
What
you know
great
what?
Idea.
Let me get on the horn with Netflix. I'm going to go ahead and do that. So I would love to sell an hour to whoever. And because comedy, stand-up is my thing. Mm-hmm. I have a podcast called Freaky Geeks, and I'm, you know, that's doing pretty well, and it pays some of the bills. So I'm so thankful for that. So I want to grow that. I want to do more stand-up, but like I moved to New York recently because I'm just like, maybe I should, you know, go to the actual a place where there's actually more clubs and stuff and start getting more work and hopefully finagle my way into writing or get a big boy job. Oh, I dropped the mic. Here we go.
Nailed okay. It. You're good.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of what I'm up to. My aspirations are literally just to survive doing comedy. That's all I care about. I don't want to be rich. I don't even care about being famous. As long as some people like me and I can pay my bills and do stand-up, my life is awesome.
Well, we like you.
Oh, thank
I'm
you so much.
For you, man. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Shane Smith, ladies and gentlemen.
I had to make it awkward there at the end.
Well, folks, that has been our interviews with the folks from Dry Bar Comedy today. There are 4 shows left this weekend. You can get your tickets, 5854-COMEDY, or you can visit carlsoncomedy.com. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with stand-up news with Ross Johnson. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is time for the stand-up news. And let me tell you something. When stand-up news breaks, Ross Johnson knows about it as long as his Google alerts are set properly.
Which they're not.
They are probably not, no. Mm. Hey,
I don't
Ross.
Know, I don't know how to do that. I literally have no idea.
Welcome back, buddy.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
What's going on? What's going on in the world of stand-up news?
Well, let me tell you. So I'll start with the sad news, so that we can.
Are you going to switch the camera to Ross?
It's me. Hi.
It's Ross.
It's me.
Yeah. Go ahead,
All
Ross.
Right,
I'm waiting for you to talk.
Okay. So anyway, so this happened a couple weeks ago, but we've been off. So I wanted to throw this out because, important to mention, of course, Brody Stevens. Passed away, took his own life on February 22nd. So that was
That was very sad. On the slightly more positive side of that, some friends of his gathered at the Comedy Store for a festival of friendship, including several comedians who had been friends and supporters of his. They sold a T-shirt. They raised $40,000 for both Brody Stevens' family and for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
That's good.
So, yeah. little you know, small nice thing to come out of a sad thing.
Rather have him back.
Yeah,
but you know, this is going to sound cliche because everybody is saying this now, but if you do have any type of feelings like this, depression, stuff like that, call somebody now. Do it. Don't just sit and wallow in it. Do it.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, you know, and I don't know how helpful this is for people in the moment, but a lot of times with suicide, not that there aren't underlying issues, not that there are long-term things, but a lot of times the psychological state and the motivation are fleeting.
Right.
It doesn't feel that way at the moment. Yeah. So if you can get help, if you can get yourself past that, it doesn't solve all your problems. It doesn't, you know, fix everything that's going on in your brain, but it can, you know, give you a shot to keep going.
Give you it tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah.
And R.I.P. Brody, man. He's a funny dude.
Hilarious.
That was a funny guy.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Well,
way to start on a positive note. Thank
you
for that, Ross.
You know, it was rather start that way than end that way, I guess. You know what? You know what's better is Mr. Cat Williams. A little bit of a run.
Hey!
We have a little bit of Cat Williams.
I've missed him so.
A little bit of a roller coaster this past week. So
for Cat Williams?
He's not big enough to be able to get on a roller coaster.
A little bit of a roller coaster the last 40-some years or 50-some years, however old he is.
Brian didn't even get it. He just talked over it.
No, I didn't get it.
No fooling.
So
I missed it completely.
You'll remember last October, this was one of the many Cat Williams stories, but this
it
was
seems
where
so very long ago,
doesn't it?
probably about how.
So this is where he was at the airport. He with his German Shepherd.
And I forgot about this one.
Was he riding it?
Insisted that he. No, that'd be a good idea though. That would have been smarter.
Quicker way to get to the gates.
Insisted that the German Shepherd ride in the front seat. Which the Uber or Lyft driver or whatever wasn't having. So they got into a fight. Cat Williams called him vulgar names and punched him in the face, chased the driver into the airport terminal, and ordered his dog to chase him as well.
I have to question two
attack!
Things.
Attack!
Well, this is...
I have two questions.
Okay, sure.
How well trained do you think Cat Williams' German Shepherd really is?
Oh, probably
because
very
I
well.
Have to wonder if he bought like a really like beautiful, well bred, like trained dog, or if he like won it off of somebody in a bet.
Well,
I guess that is possible. Like, I was going to say he's rich, so it's probably a really good one. But yeah, the possibility he won it in an alley,
right,
is equally like, plausible.
Exactly. Like this dog is just like it's part wolf. Like we don't know what it is. He's saying it's a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
Well, and the complaint only says he ordered the dog to chase. So I mean, I tell my dogs to do stuff all the time, and
it doesn't say if it complied.
It does not say it complied. So.
The dog just rolled his eyes at him the way everybody else does.
Just got back in the front seat of the Lyft and drove off.
And was waiting for the cops.
Just waiting for the cops. Like
that's the only thing
that's
it's trained
the one
to
thing
do.
He knows how to do.
Is just wait for the cops.
So Williams was supposed to be in court for that this past week. Mm-hmm. He was charged with fourth degree assault.
And let me guess, he showed up promptly and on time.
But here's the thing. So no, of course not. Of course not.
Of course not. Okay.
But here's where I don't know if this is a, it helps to be rich or a black guy caught a break story. But so he didn't show up in court.
Mm-hmm.
Was in some trouble for that. Judge issued a warrant for his arrest. But apparently he paid $197,000 to the driver.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was it? Surge pricing.
Thank you. Very nice.
And there's an extra tax.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
There's an extra tax for dog attacks too.
They called it a settlement, and the judge said, "Fine, and you're free to go. Everything's fine." So,
they called it a settlement, $200,000.
Yep. So I don't know if that's a good to be rich or black guy caught a break story.
I have a feeling that
I don't know.
Cat Williams maybe chauffeurs both. Like cumulatively have more money in their accounts than he does.
<That's> you would think, right?
Why is $197,000? It's very specific.
You know what? That is very specific. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good question.
He was going to give him 200K, but left out 3,000 because he hurt the dog's feelings by not letting him ride in the...
That's true.
No, yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're right. Because you could understand if it were a court thing and like, oh, they're putting in legal fees and weird things.
I'm sure it was a lawyer.
Yeah. But if you're just handing somebody a wad of cash, like, why? I don't know why. So, yeah.
Maybe that's all he had on him at the moment.
Maybe that's it.
I love you, Cat Williams. You are a superstar.
He's a gift that keeps on giving.
That's all he had in the rolly bag.
All right, what else we got?
Okay, so I'm throwing this out there just because it was my favorite show and it's coming back, so this is a little self-indulgent. But Netflix is bringing back Children's Hospital in the form of Medical Police is going to be the new show. So this is going to star Aaron Hayes and Rob Hubel as a pair of American physicians stationed at a pediatric hospital in Sao Paulo, Brazil, who discover a civilization-threatening virus and are recruited as government agents in a race against time around the world to find a cure and uncover a dark conspiracy. It's going to have Malina Ackerman, Lake Bell, Rob Corddry, Ken Marino, produced and directed by David Wayne, so all the Children's Hospital people, and I just love that show, so I'm glad they're coming
back. So it's that show, but not that show.
Not that show, but not that show.
Okay, yep. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So,
all right. I can maybe get behind that.
A continuation.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if it's... Yeah.
I don't know if this guy's like, Christopher Guest or not, but we'll see how this goes.
That's true. That was one of my favorite shows.
No, it was a very funny show. I'm not arguing that. Yeah. I'm just saying, back to the well.
Well, mm-hmm. True.
Everybody's going back to the well again. The water's getting dirtier and dirtier.
But with everybody going back to the well, at least there's a well that I liked before. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least they're going to the good well.
Except for that Russian doll. That was a good show. That's not...
I didn't say everything comes from
going back to the well. I know, I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just talking about shows I like now in this segment.
Do you realize that's not what the stand-up news
this
is?
Just the
Do you realize
the
that what Ross likes on Netflix is not stand-up news?
You know what? Everybody else gets to talk about what they want to talk about.
No, I don't get to ever talk about what I want to talk about.
Well, you should. Maybe you'd be happier.
Maybe I would be.
Yeah.
Turn off Netflix next week.
You want to talk about Stormy Daniels?
All right.
Well, maybe and this is stand-up related.
So, yeah, absolutely. So you guys heard about this, right? So she is... Yeah. Well, she
took dates to do stand-up club.
She's announced that she's going on tour. There's only one date currently at the Joke Joint in Houston on March 20th. So if you want to go, I guess get your tickets now. So this is supposed to be the first stop. This has generated some controversy in the comedy community, and I wondered what you guys thought about it. So obviously,
what's the controversy, Ross? Tell me what the controversy is.
So this is a person who is perhaps not best known as a comedian.
What else is she known for? I'm unfamiliar.
I believe she's known for her adult films as well as intercourse with the president.
Yes,
you may.
Yeah.
Ring and being paid for said intercourse, or not paid for intercourse, but paid to not talk about said intercourse.
Yes.
With campaign funds.
allegedly.
No. From
allegedly.
The fixer's account. Who cares? God. All right. She wants to tell
jokes. I
just
want to talk about what I'm talking about, Fanny.
I think Vinny and I are in agreement on this one.
Okay, so what's the consensus? A
bunch of comedians are mad because she's not a comedian and she's doing a stand-up club.
That's exactly it. And there's a lot of like I put down some stuff about stuff that people have said, but it's sort of you get the idea.
Yeah, Vinny, say your opinion because I saw it on Twitter or Facebook or something, and I think we're in agreement on this.
My opinion is venues try to put a show on that'll put butts in the seats, and guess what? Stormy Daniels is going to put some butts in the seats.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's not like they're doing it on a Saturday night. If I recall, it's like a Sunday night, off-night show.
Yeah, it's like a Wednesday, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, fine. Something like that, yeah.
Good.
Fine.
She's got something to say, let her say it. I mean, that's what the art form is. If a stand-up comedian is mad at someone for trying or attempting to do something, now is it her cashing in? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
But all the other comedians who work regularly at that club will benefit from her cashing in.
Because
that club's going to make a lot of money that night, and it allows them to put on more shows.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I sort of know. I mean, I get the...
It's all trickle-down economics, you see, Ross.
Yes.
Well, and I understand, like, so if I'm a comedian who feels like, you know, he or she has put in her time and blah, 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 I get, like, having that feeling of, like, God damn it, Stormy Daniels just gets to show up and do a show. I get that feeling, but... I'd have a really hard time justifying that as a thing that I would want to yell at her about or yell at anybody about because, again, it's she's going to sell tickets, so why would you not put her on stage?
My stance on this is simple. Number one, anybody that wants to do stand-up comedy can go and do stand-up comedy. And the fact is, if you could fill up a room, you're going to get preferential treatment no matter which club it is in the world.
Yep.
And the reason why some comedians, you know, make more money than others is because they fill up rooms. And it's all based on attendance and how many people buy tickets to your show. It really is. I mean, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, she's marketable.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I think if you are a comedian who's all about the art, you know, you can be offended by it. But if you're a comedian who's just working and likes to make some money, you shouldn't be offended by this because it helps the clubs stay open. It helps them, you know, pay you for more work.
There's something to be said about people who try to cash in to stand up as a last resort.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of people who do. There's a lot of people who are notable actors and things like that who go into stand up because they figure, you know what? It's more fun than doing the conventions. And I could go do this, and I could do this multiple times a year as opposed to there's three conventions a year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or whatever.
And I think we've both worked with some who were very good and some who were very terrible.
And a lot of them take it very seriously. Some of them don't. Some of them want a paycheck. And, you know, that's the risk you take when you're in the business. But you can't be mad at the business. Don't hate the game.
That's the opposite of the usual saying then? Hate the game, don't hate the player?
No. No, don't hate the game. Learn to play it.
Don't hate the game, learn the player. Don't hate anybody.
Right. I'm with Ross.
Positive no ending.
Ross, do you have any more stories today?
Nope, that's all I got.
All right, well then
Stormy Daniels.
I guess that has been this week's edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. We're going to be back next week with our friend Earl David Reed, who's coming back.
Yay.
So, until then, stay tuned, act right, and later, Marks.